Chapter 12, The Evidence of Earth and Logic.
One long and apparently boring summer day, a boy decides to blow up firecrackers in his parents' garage. So he lights the fuse of the first firecracker in the middle of the floor, and then quickly scrambles back out of the way to safety. Sure enough, the firecracker explodes, whereupon the boy immediately goes and inspects the remains, but he becomes seriously disappointed. So in persistence, he quickly lights a second firecracker, scrambles out of the way again, and after the explosion, he then proceeds to once more investigate the remains. As he sifts through the burn marks on the floor along with the tiny leftover firecracker particles, he again becomes disgusted with the results. But being the persistent young man that he is, the boy repeats this procedure with the same disappointing results, until after about a dozen times or so, he spies a bag of apples in the corner of the garage. Suddenly, he gets an idea. He will place a firecracker inside the apple to see what that does. So sure enough, he lights the fuse and scrambles back again to safety as the firecracker goes off inside the apple, bang. The apple explodes into tiny bits, whereupon his father, inside the house, finally comes out to investigate what in the world all the noise is. He immediately asks, "What on earth are you doing?" The boy simply looks up from the pile of tiny apple bits and pieces and replies, "I'm making a little brother."
Now folks, let's be honest, if your child really believed that blowing up firecrackers or even blowing up firecrackers in an apple would somehow eventually produce a little baby brother, how many of you would be tempted to say to your spouse, "He takes after your side of the family"? Wow. I mean, can you believe how goofy that would be? But folks, stop and think about it. Isn't that what evolution teaches? Don't they say that a random firecracker, the Big Bang, blew up and voila, here we are? Exactly. And people, that's not only foolish in the practical realm, it's a huge stumbling block in the spiritual realm. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to this guy.
"Since the day I became a Christian, I have struggled with the differences in the theory of evolution versus Genesis that I was taught since childhood. Thank you for showing me scientifically how I don't need to reconcile these two anymore. It angers me how long and deeply I have been duped, but I can't worry about that now. I look forward to more study on the truth versus the propaganda I was fed."
Now folks, I don't know about you, but it sure sounds to me like this creation versus evolution thing is not only a powerful way to share the gospel, but it really encourages people in their faith in the gospel, amen? And people, that's precisely why we're going to continue in our study, The Witness of Creation. And what we've been doing is taking a look at the five different evidences of creation that God has left behind for us, showing us that He's not just real, but that we really can have a personal, intimate relationship with Him, the Creator of the universe. And so far we've seen the first evidence God left behind for us, showing us this amazing truth, is the evidence of an intelligent creation. And then in the last chapter we saw the second evidence was the evidence of a young creation. And there we saw the first evidence showing us we really do have a young creation, and that was the evidence from space. And there we saw 12 scientific facts about space that clearly showed us that hello, Jesus Christ is no liar, evolution is, we have a young creation, and that was the evidence of star clusters, supernovas, comets, the amount of hydrogen, the planets' rings and cooling, the appearances of Venus and Mars, solar wind, the size of the sun, isotopes and the distance of the moon, just to name a few. Oh, but that's not all. The second scientific evidence showing us that Jesus Christ is not a liar, and that we do have a young creation, is the evidence from Earth. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's.
Isaiah 40:21-28. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy, and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these. He who brings out the starry host one by one, and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom.
Now folks, according to our text, it's pretty clear. Who was it that made the earth and everything in it? Hello? Do you not know? Have you not heard? It was who? It was God, right? But herein lies the problem. What does evolution teach? Apparently they do not know and they have not heard, because they actually say we came not from a heavenly father but from what? A mythical firecracker called the Big Bang, right? And you read the opening story, that's pretty goofy to think that a firecracker, big or small, could create anything at all. Hello? And then as if that wasn't bad enough, to add insult to injury, evolution further denies what we saw Jesus taught in the last chapter in that he, God, not only created all of life in the earth, but he did it how long ago? Just a few thousand years ago, right? But what does evolution say? They say just the opposite. They say it all began millions and billions of years ago. Or in other words, in a land far, far away, something mystical, something magical happened. And as we saw, that's not just a fairy tale, but it's calling Jesus a what? A liar. And how many of you would say, that's probably not a very good thing to do? But you might be thinking, hey, wait a minute. Okay, so maybe they got this universe thing wrong, but I'm sure when it comes to the earth itself, they've got this timing thing down to an exact science. Oh, really? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let you be the judge. Let's take a look at the evolving dates of not just the universe, but also the earth. And you tell me if this is timing thing an exact science.
The evolution of the age of the earth. 1650, Bishop James Usher calculated a creation day of Sunday, the 23rd of October 4004 BC, about 6000 ago. 1862, 20 million years old. 1897, 40 million. 1899, 90 million. 1921, 1 billion. 1932, 1.6 billion. 1947, 3.35 billion. 1956, 4.5 billion. Current, 5 billion.
Now folks, I don't know about you, but I'd say that's not a very stable timeline, how about you? I mean, gee whiz, at least Jesus sticks to one story, you know what I'm saying? Therefore, let's move from this unstable supposed scientific timetable to some more solid scientific facts, showing us that Jesus is no liar. The second scientific evidence showing us that Jesus is not a liar but evolution is the evidence from Earth. Let's take a look.
1. Meteor dust, micrometeors, composed of iron, nickel, and silicate compounds are continually entering our atmosphere, adding 25 tons to the Earth daily. If the Earth has been here for billions of years, the resultant concentration of nickel in the ocean sediments would be much greater. In fact, there is only enough cosmic dust on the Earth to account for a few thousand years of meteoritic dust influx. 2. Meteor rocks. Meteor rocks are never found in the rock strata. Yet they should be found there, if millions of years were required to lay down the sedimentary strata. Meteor rocks always lie close to or on the Earth's surface. Thus, all the meteors, which have struck the Earth, have hit it within the last few thousand years. 3. Earth's helium content. Physicist Melvin Cook, Nobel Prize medalist, found that helium-4 enters our atmosphere from solar wind and radioactive decay of uranium. If the Earth were billions of years old, our present atmosphere would contain about 1.4 parts per million of helium. However, the amount of helium-4 in our present-day atmosphere dates the Earth at less than 10,000 years. 4. Earth's topsoil. The average depth of topsoil throughout the world is 8 inches. Calculations have shown it takes from 300 to 1,000 years to build 1 inch of topsoil. Therefore, the Earth could only be a few thousand years of age. 5. Earth's erosion. If the Earth was billions of years old, and erosion going on for at least millions of years, how could there be sharp cliffs? How could we still have mountains? Why have the continents not been washed to the sea, filling the oceans and washing away all of the fossils? Why hasn't everything gone flat and been washed away? If the Earth was billions of years old, then the ocean floor would be covered by sediments from land, measuring 60 to 100 miles thick, and all the continents would be eroded away. Instead, we only find a few thousand feet of sediment. Based on known yearly sediment depositing, calculations yield only a few thousand years for our planet. After the Great Flood, God pushed the mountains up and the valleys down to allow the waters to subside.
6. The ocean's salt content. The oceans today are about 3.6% salt.
Yet they get saltier every day by water flowing off of the continents into the oceans, erosion, and brings with it mineral salts.
Therefore, the ocean's salt content is constantly increasing. For those who want to believe it's billions of years old, this creates a problem. There's not enough salt in the ocean. There's only enough salt for a few thousand years.
7. The oceans ooze. When animals and plants die in the sea, that which is not consumed as food builds up as an ooze on the ocean floor. This buildup is at the rate of about 1 inch every 5,000 years. When measured, there is not nearly enough anywhere in the oceans to account for even millions, much less billions, of years of accumulation. The depth of ooze indicates the Earth is quite young.
8.
The Mississippi Delta. The Mississippi River carries some 300 million cubic yards or 190 million tons of sediment into the Gulf of Mexico each year. Of this amount, about 59 million tons must be dredged out of the lower Mississippi annually. If the Earth were millions of years old, the Gulf would have long since been filled with mud. By measuring the rate of the Delta's growth, about 250 feet per year, its age is calculated to be about 4,000 years, which is just enough time to have started after the flood of Noah.
9.
The Earth's oil and gas. Maybe it's the cheese again. The pressure in modern-day oil and natural gas fields is too high for them to be very old. For instance, when a 10,000 feet deep well is tapped, the oil may spray high into the sky by pressures as great as 20,000 pounds per inch too.
We call it a gusher.
Analysis of surrounding rock permeability reveals that any pressure within the oil bed should have bled off within a few thousand years, but it has not happened. These deep rock formations and their entrapped oil cannot be older than 7,000 to 10,000 years. Current data shows how oil and gas reserves would have been formed in a relatively short time after a global catastrophe, such as Noah's flood. And for those who have been convinced that it takes millions of years to make oil, in the early 90s, Canada's Environment Minister, Tom McMillan, announced a $196 million project to build a commercial-scale plant, which would turn sewage into oil.
Using heat to turn Halifax's 500,000 tons of sewage per year into 700,000 barrels of oil. The entire process takes about 30 minutes.
10. Earth's magnetic field. Earth's magnetic field has been measured since 1835 and it's growing weaker, which means it used to be stronger. If we extrapolate backwards, even to 20,000 years ago, the heat produced by the magnetic field would probably have liquefied the Earth, and at 1 million years ago, the magnetic field would have been so strong as to have vaporized our planet. Based on the magnetic field, the Earth has to be very young.
11.
Earth's spinning rate. Earth's spin is slowing down at a rate of 1/3 of a second every year.
This means it used to spin faster.
Extrapolating back billions of years, the Earth would have been spinning so fast that centrifugal force would have pulled the land masses to the equator, drawn them out to a height of over 40 miles, pushed the oceans to the poles, and the overall shape of the Earth would have changed from a sphere to as flat as a pancake. Maybe this is what happened to the dinosaurs. They flew off the Earth. In the other extreme, if the Earth is billions of years old, then today the Earth's spin rate would be slowed to zero. Needless to say, this evidence also supports a young Earth of only several thousand years age.
Now folks, I don't know about you, but those scientific facts about Earth are not just interesting, I'd say they're pretty hard on the old evolutionary theory. How about you? And folks, what you have to keep in mind is that this is the Achilles heel of evolution. They've got to have vast amounts of time to get you and I to fall for their fairy tale. Without tons of time, the whole thing crumbles to the ground. And remember, all it takes is just one of these scientific facts to ruin the whole theory, doesn't it? Therefore, in light of the evidence, I'd say it's time for somebody to get a new theory. How about you? But you might be thinking, okay. Maybe they got this universe and Earth thing wrong, but I'm sure they've got a logical reason for being this far off. Surely they're using their brains on this one. Oh, really? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let you be the judge. Let's look at the third scientific evidence showing us that Jesus is not a liar but evolution is, and that is the evidence from logic.
1. The logic of written history. The written history of man only dates back to a few thousand years. If man has been here for millions of years, why aren't there more records of man's existence? 2. The logic of writing. The oldest writing is from only a few thousand years ago. If man has been here for millions of years, why don't we have older evidence of writing? Keep in mind, the evidence shows that when writing began, it was fully developed. 3. The logic of language. Records of ancient languages never go back beyond just a few thousand years ago. Yet, beginning in the Near East, there are language families, which have spread all over the world since then and can be traced back to a single mother tongue.
Once again, this agrees with the biblical account for the origins of language at the Tower of Babel.
4. The logic of civilizations. The record of civilizations that have been discovered reveal highly developed and sophisticated civilizations. They don't appear to be dumb ape-like creatures dragging their knuckles on the ground. Also, almost in every instance, our earliest aspects of civilization, crops, animal husbandry, metallurgy, building, cities, etc., go back to the Near East, which agrees with the biblical account for the origins of man being recent and in the region of the Mesopotamia.
5.
The logic of ancient cultures. Many ancient cultures have stories, which closely parallel the biblical account of an original creation and a worldwide flood.
There are nearly 500 of these flood legends now known.
Why would so many talk about a worldwide flood unless maybe there really was a worldwide flood? 6. The logic of population statistics. Starting with 8 people, and applying modern growth rates since the flood of Noah's day, we should have a total human population at just about 6 billion people. However, application on an evolutionary time scale runs into major problems. Starting with one couple just 41,000 years ago would give us a total population of 2/1089.
This number of people is so great that there would not be enough space in the universe to hold so many bodies. Now that's crowded.
And speaking of which, contrary to what many want us to believe, the Earth is nowhere near being overcrowded. The entire 1997 world population could stand within the city limits of Jacksonville, Florida. 7. The age of the Sahara Desert. The Sahara Desert is expanding and has been calculated to be about 4,000 years old, which is right about the time of the flood of Noah. If the Earth is billions of years old, why isn't the Sahara Desert larger by now? 8. The age of coral. The oldest known coral formation is about 4,200 years old, which is right about the time of the flood of Noah. If the Earth is billions of years old, why aren't there any coral reefs older than 4,200 years? 9. The age of trees. The oldest known tree is the bristlecone pine tree at about 4,300 years old, which is right about the time of the flood of Noah.
If the Earth is billions of years old, why aren't there any trees older than 4,300 years? 10.
The logic of the Bible. Bible records show us a creation date of approximately 6,000 years ago. As we've seen, scientific facts point us toward the same dates.
Maybe the Bible is right after all.
Isn't that logical?
Now folks, I don't know about you, but those scientific facts of logic are not just interesting, I'd say they're pretty hard on the old evolutionary theory. How about you? And folks, what you have to keep in mind is that this is the Achilles heel of evolution. They've got to have vast amounts of time to get you and I to fall for their fairy tale. Without tons of time, the whole thing crumbles to the ground. And remember, all it takes is just one of these scientific facts to ruin the whole theory, doesn't it? Therefore, in light of the evidence, I'd say it's time for somebody to get a new theory. How about you? But you might be thinking, okay. So maybe they got this universe thing wrong and the Earth thing wrong, and yeah, maybe they're not using a whole lot of logic, but come on. If it was that obvious we have a young creation, then surely even these guys would have to be intellectually honest enough to admit it, right? Well, it just so happens they have. Let's look at some actual quotes from the evolutionists themselves declaring that even they know we really do have a young creation.
John A. Eddy, PhD, solar astronomer at the High Altitude Observatory in Boulder, Colorado, said, "There is no evidence based solely on solar observation that the Sun is 4.5 billion years old. Given some new and unexpected results to the contrary, I suspect we could live with Bishop Usher's value for the age of the Earth and Sun. I don't think we have much in the way of observational evidence in astronomy to conflict with that. Professor Louis Bauner, former president of the Biological Society of Strasbourg, said, "Evolution is a fairy tale for grown-ups. This theory has helped nothing in the progress of science. It is useless."
Now, folks, I don't know about you, but it seems when they're confronted with the facts, even some evolutionists admit that we could not only have a young creation, but it's a what? And I quote, a fairy tale to think otherwise. Gee, where did I hear that before? But you might be thinking, okay. So maybe they got this universe and Earth thing wrong, and yeah, maybe a few of them have even admitted with their own lips the possibility of a young creation. But what about all that carbon dating stuff, and what about the geological column and fossils and stalactites and stalagmites where they say these are proof positive that we've been here for millions and billions of years? Hey, great question, I'm glad you asked. We'll start taking a look at that in the next chapter.